So if we recall from last Sunday, we had that turning point in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus turned his face with a resolute determination to head towards Jerusalem, leaving the north, going to the south, to Jerusalem, where he was certain to encounter the Paschal mystery, determined to enter into the suffering, the death, the resurrection, that Paschal mystery that leads to our salvation. This is a journey that he's on. And now today we hear that he's sending out these missionaries to go before him to prepare the way, to prepare those people through whom the cities through Jesus will be passing, so that those who want to, those who are open, will join him on this journey. On this journey to Jerusalem, this journey to the cross. The cross, which St. Paul told us today, is the only source of our boasting, the source of our rejoicing. He's writing, St. Paul is writing to the Galatians, this community, this church that he founded. And he went and prepared the way. He went and proclaimed the saving message of Jesus Christ, proclaimed the name that the kingdom of God is at hand. And so many men and women and families converted, gave their lives over to Jesus, submitted to the cross and to the church. But he had to write this letter, because if you go to the beginning of it, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians," or maybe he says something, "You stupid Galatians." And why does he say this? Because these men and women who at one point were so fervently following Jesus began to listen to the wayward voices that began to corrupt the message. And most of St. Paul's letters are written for that purpose, for this group, this church, this believing community in some way began to fall off, began to not be focused on Jesus on the cross, but began to believe other things. So St. Paul had to write these letters reminding them, calling them back to the fullness of the truth, the fullness of the faith. This letter to the Galatians is no different. Jesus warned them. He said, "I'm sending you amongst the wolves, like sheep among the wolves." Then he said, "Some people will accept you, some people will reject you." He's preparing them for the battle that St. Paul had to write against, this spiritual battle in which we are all fighting even till today. This good versus evil. And not only in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm, the everyday things around us. The battle that St. Paul was writing against was that these super apostles had come into the community and said, "If you really want to be a true believer, then you Greek converts, you have to be circumcised." Because for the Jews, that was a sign of the covenant. That's how you knew that you were part of the in crowd. That was your mark. Your bragging rights is that you were circumcised. And so these men came into the community and were playing on the hearts of these people who are so desperate sometimes to feel included that they would do these crazy things to make sure that they fit in with the in crowd. St. Paul was reminding them that's not true. I'm sure none of us in today, we're so advanced, we're so progressive, right? We don't have to deal with any of those kind of pressures of going along with the crowd so we can feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We don't feel like we have to do crazy things and say and believe crazy things so that the end people, the super apostles will approve of us. Certainly none of us deal with that pressure. Nothing has changed. But the answer is always Jesus. The answer is always the cross. St. Paul says circumcision means nothing. If you are a Jew and part of the believing community, that means nothing. If you're a Gentile and you're uncircumcised, that means nothing. The only thing that means anything is to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. And this is the same message for us. And this is the message that the apostles and the disciples were sent out to preach. The shalom, the peace, The reign of God is here. And if you submit yourself to the teachings of Jesus Christ, if you submit yourself to baptism and become a new creation, then you have everything that you will ever need. Such a simple message, but one that's so easily forgotten. The one that St. Paul had to keep writing to all of those communities to remind them. And so Jesus sends these men out to prepare the way, to prepare the hearts of these people. And when they come back, they're ecstatic. They're astounded that what Jesus said was going to happen, happened. That lives were changed. People were healed. Demons were cast out. True conversions were taking place because they were preaching the name of Jesus. In our daily life, are we preaching the name of Jesus? Is our witness enough to change the lives of the people that we are encountering? Jesus said, you cannot be self-reliant. You can't bring anything with you. You must trust in my providence. Trust that I am enough for you. And when they came back, he said, don't even trust in the fruit of your labors. Us today, how self-reliant have we become? And what do we trust? What gives us comfort and security? When the economy is as crazy as it is, people can't afford gas, can barely afford groceries. The things that we hold to so easily crumble around us. Are we able to keep our faith? Do we trust in the providence of God? And the fruit of our labors. How much joy and success do we take in that? Oh, look how good I am. Whether it's in the church and my ministry is so fruitful, or how successful I am in my career, how good my kids are. We take comfort in that reputation. We take comfort in that stock that the world gives us because we've met their standards. Jesus says that's not the way. Be completely detached from this world. Bring nothing with you along the journey. And no matter what happens, keep going. Rejoice. Not because you did some miraculous work. Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. The full force of the evil one is subject to you. This is the power that Jesus shares with us. He said, that's nothing. What really matters is the Father in heaven knows you. So we're in the evening mass, so I'm sure many of us had many chances today to look into a mirror. When you looked in the mirror, did you see someone that the Father loves? Did you allow that truth to rest inside your heart? Did you allow that truth to rise inside of you, the joy of the fruit of the Spirit? That the Father in heaven knows you and that your name is written in heaven. This is what gives our life meaning. And this is why we can rejoice. And this is the message that we're all sent to give to the entire world. And because we are not doing that, the world is in a mess that it's in. We can point fingers at any politician or any church leader and anybody we want. And there are lots of bad people in lots of positions who need to repent. No doubt. And we should pray for their repentance so that they don't go to hell. Really. But am I being faithful to the mission that the Lord has given me? Are you? Are you preparing the way for Christ to come into the hearts of the people that you will encounter? Are you living a life of such radical surrender to God's will and God's providence that people have no difficulty accepting the message of the gospel? That I was dead in my sin, but because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, that through the sacraments I can receive the grace that I need to go to heaven. Simple. But because we live in this world that's so chaotic, we, the disciples, begin to think like the world, and then we begin to evangelize with the worldly things. Today, Christ is calling us to return. To return to the simple message that the kingdom of God is at hand, that the reign of God is here, that God's power, God's Spirit is available to each one of us. And in the powerful name of Jesus, nothing can be held back. That we have freedom. As we celebrate in our country this great gift of freedom, it's nothing compared to the freedom that Jesus gives us. Nothing. We want the whole world to rejoice. We sang in the responsorial song. Let that joy begin in our own hearts. Repent today from the sins of self-sufficiency and self-reliance. Repent today from this relying on the things of the world to give you meaning. And open your heart to the gaze of the Heavenly Father, who longs to look upon your face and longs for you to return the gaze. Jesus is here in the most blessed sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, each and every day waiting for you to come and spend time with him, waiting for you to allow him to love you enough that you don't get trapped, sucked into the trap that so many others have. I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Some people will accept you. Some people will reject you. You will do great works in my name. So what? What really matters is that the Father in heaven knows you. And this is why we can really rejoice.